Blog Talk Radio.
Trouble.
Oh, my Lord. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. Happy to be on the air. Happy to not have technical mishaps in the studio. Three's a charm. Three is a charm. We thank God. We got through all the little things that pop up at the last minute and can't be resolved over the last 2 weeks. So here we are, people. Monday, 1 o'clock. Beautiful fall day that feels a little bit more like spring than fall.
Yeah, I love it.
I like it. I really like it.
Let's stay like this.
You know, the other day was, anybody who's listening outside of New York, the other day we had something like, I think it was last Wednesday, it was 95 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was just like, where did this come from?
It was wonderful. And then the next day was like 55.
I know.
Raw
that's
and 55.
That's a radical drop. That's a radical drop. That's like a 40 degree difference.
I know.
And there's no way of making sense of that, except for all the client the climate deniers who are out there.
Yeah.
It's real.
It's very real.
Yeah,
very real. You know, I belong to these bird societies, and there's so many birds that are dying off because of the climate change. And they don't realize how bad it's been or it's going to get if we don't take care of it.
You know, there's a commercial on that we're both up early in the morning, and these heartbreaking commercials, and it's about climate change. And you see this polar bear alone on melting ice,
right.
And you see it drifting away, and you're
mm-hmm.
like, Jesus, what are we doing? What are we doing? And how could we possibly say
people
this?
People just don't think it's important.
You know what? I mean,
and it doesn't exist, but it does.
I mean,
it really does.
People that want to be delusional and don't want to see what's happening will say, and there is some truth to this, that there are these historical changes that happened in the climate.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, in 200 years ago, they did have 90 degrees at a random time when it wasn't appropriate. But the fact that it's happening more often,
mm-hmm.
things that happen as a fluke, they will happen always. But the fact that we are having storms of the century every year, that's what we're talking about.
It's funny because when we hit that 90-degree mark last Wednesday, last time that happened was 1928.
Really?
Yes. So you could just see the difference in years that would happen, you know?
Yeah. So I always like to watch that on the news when you see the last time it happened was in, like,
hottest day, 1974 or whatever.
But again, things we understand, we're not idiots. We understand that things will happen outside the norm. But when it becomes the norm, that's when you realize
something's wrong.
We have a problem.
Yes.
And that's what we always talk about. So people just tuning in and don't know who the hell these chicks are, let me do a proper intro. To my left, and always close to my heart, the lovely Elite Ziegelman.
Woo!
Okay, that was it. They like that's what happened.
They told him to stop briefly.
That's it. So they sat down.
And to my right is the most, and I have to say, the most talented woman I've ever met.
Oh,
you know, because I've been with your massages and I saw you play this weekend. Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh well, thank you so much.
The most wonderful Lori Towers.
Thank you, darling.
I gave you the longest one.
Oh, but you know what I was going to say, the way they stopped abruptly, there's like being in Catholic school when the nun walked in and just like
that's
sat.
It. That's it.
You sat right down and you stopped chewing gum or whatever you're going to do. Today what we have is something that everybody loves our round tables, and it's just a time where
I miss the girls.
I know. We were in summer reruns, and the summer reruns are always a lot of fun. And people always give great feedback. Oh, I love that show. And people get to hear stuff that they never heard or the Hear It Again. But there's just really nothing like having Nancy Donahue, Patricia Martin, sitting around the table with us and just taking a discussion whether we have something, you know, that's in specific tone, or something that we're just going to run with.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, and because it always goes here, there, and everywhere, and I think that's
the best thing about the show.
The best thing. So bring them on in order of, who was that first?
I don't even know their numbers anymore still. Hello, girls.
Ladies.
You're all on.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Awesome.
We did miss the both of you.
Happy fall, by the way.
Happy fall.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's fall already. I hope everybody had a good summer.
How was your summer, Nancy?
My summer was super fun-filled, packed with traveling and all sorts of other things. But how was yours?
You sound very tired over there.
I know. I've been up early this morning, so trying to get a jump on the day.
Okay. And how was Patty's summer?
Oh, well, you know, it was full of packing boxes, contractors, caulking guns, you name it. My new motto is I've got a caulking gun and I'm not afraid to use it.
Yeah, that's a great one. Excellent. Congratulations on your new home, by the way.
Congratulations, exactly.
Thank
Patty just bought a new home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Movers are us, you know.
You know what?
It's not easy moving, I know that.
No, and you know something? It's the most, I think it's like one of the third most
stressful times in your life.
Because,
moving,
it's
a death.
And there are people that I know of that move like
every
5 years,
mm-hmm.
and they've gotten into that kind of track with that. But it really is tough because you're taking your life and putting it in boxes.
And putting it in another place,
and just the physical, the emotional strain of that. But also the physical strain of that.
I always say that you know that you've settled in when you're in the shower and you can reach blindly for whatever product you want.
That's so true.
Yeah,
That's a good point.
It's fraught with stuff. I mean, I don't know if you know, one of my books that I wrote, it was kind of like a warm-up for The Right Side of 40, but I interviewed a bunch of women for a book, and Women in Stress, and I researched, you know, I was one of the first to do Jon Kabat-Zinn and so forth and so on, and did a lot of research and did a lot of interviews on it. And, of course, like you said, the top 10, you know, among the top 10 stresses, there's marriage, divorce, death, and moving. So, and it was interesting. I interviewed a bunch of women about how they, you know, what their stresses were, how they cope with stress, that kind of thing. And I wanted to call the book Stress to Excess, A Chill-Out Guide for the Harried Woman. The publisher decided to name it Modern Woman, A Stress Relief Manual.
Really?
And when that doesn't have any sizzle to it, but, you know, it says it. But so, and the first design, I get the design. I had talked to, you know, my representative there about what it was going to look like, blah, blah. I get the book, and it has the word stress, and, like, all these ugly type fonts. And it's hideous, and I knew it was designed by a man. And so I called the publisher, and I said, what happened to my book? I feel like I've had an ugly baby, and I don't know who the father is. And they apologized. And what happened is they got calls from bookstores saying, love the book, hate the jacket. And they redid it, actually.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
But you wonder how people could, like, I mean, you know, I know that people and the publishers are looking for something specific. But, I mean, I think that most people could see, you know, one thing might look better than another, and what's sellable, what's marketable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that.
Yeah, but if you have a book on stress
lot,
and you have these like neon horrible and ugly fonts going stress, you want to run away from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Who wants to pick that up?
So true.
Right. No, I definitely pick up a book by its cover. So.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
It's, you know, whatever, you know, hits your eye.
And stress, I think would be more repelling than anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that, you know, people would feel comfortable with and gravitate toward and maybe see their own reflection in.
Mm-hmm.
But that just kind of like is a stop sign right there.
Yeah, it kind of defeated the purpose of the book. Or it was like Exhibit A, one or the other. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
But, so there's, you know, moving is never – pleasant, and I'm glad to be on the other side of it. So that really took up, you know, that really took up a big, big chunk of time and energy. And I made lots of new friends with lots of contractors. And
yeah, that's what happened.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like two steps forward, one step back. Oh,
exactly.
The good news is this, yeah. So
you know what I think with the beauty of all of that happened in the last 3 weeks is knowing that there's going to be a possible impeachment by Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
From your mouth to God's ears.
No.
I know.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
Because
he's out of control.
Oh, it's
sure.
I honestly think that, you know, Elite has always debated this with me on the show. She's always saying, well, he's going to land on his feet, he's going to land on his feet.
He always does.
He does. But in this case, there's something very different in this.
Let me ask you something, because I don't remember. Mm. It's so funny, because until this term, I was never a political person.
Mm-hmm.
It just never interested me. It was just something that, it just happened, you know, and it was just, the world was okay.
Mm.
Now, the world is not okay because we have a monster in office.
Mm-hmm.
But when Nixon was impeached, how long did that take?
It was very quick.
So
how come it takes
all this time for this to happen?
The Republican Party has changed in the sense that, you know what, again, I don't like to say, well, I don't know any Republicans, because
there's a lot of Republicans,
choice.
Right.
But this is a different party.
Right.
This is not the party of Lincoln. This is not people that are just voting for any fiscal features. These are people that let a wolf in the hen house and are just too frightened to say they were wrong, and they're standing by him. But this morning, when I heard that Lindsey Graham, who has been his lapdog since he got in, called him a liar on Fox 5, I said, he's definitely friggin' out. He's out.
Really?
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
I didn't either.
I was screaming for John. I said, John, you got to hear this. He's out.
True.
Wow.
It's true.
It's going to happen.
I hope it's true, because we have, what are we, up to 3 whistleblowers now, and nothing's happened.
Yeah.
3 confirmed whistleblowers.
Right. So let's
He's definitely going to be out. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, because it's taken much too long.
Well, his tax returns are going to become public. So,
well, I just saw in the Times, it's requested that he delivers his tax returns, correct?
Yeah, but he's not going to do that.
If he's subpoenaed, he has to.
He's subpoenaed?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But if it's tax returns, who cares about his tax returns at this moment?
Listen.
It was asked for in the beginning of the term.
But you
I know, but you need to have all the information in order to proceed with the impeachment, you know.
Okay, so let's hope this all happens.
And withholding information is just not a good way to present yourself.
He's not up to par with
anything.
But
what I'm trying to say is he also sold himself as a wonderful businessman.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't. Now, Mike Bloomberg, yes.
Yes.
He was a wonderful businessman. I'm sure he would, you know, show his tax anytime. He actually was. Trump wasn't. And that's what, you know.
The shyster.
This was a charade.
Yeah.
And this is something that now is going to come into the daylight. And, you know, he got a lot of traction on the fact that he lied and covered each of the lies.
Mm-hmm.
It's the emperor's new clothes.
Right.
He got people to believe it. Now it's over. And I just hope so,
because he's gotten away with so much within the last 3 years almost.
And
you know?
He gets hysterical and
oh my
and
God, he becomes
he gets
like,
hysterical and he doesn't make
he
any sense.
He blames everybody around him. He becomes what he is, and he spews such hate. You know, they're trying to, you know, black dog me. They're trying to say this. They're trying to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people
reminds me of Rumpelstiltskin when he
exactly,
gets
exactly
exactly
right.
Right. And his followers are just impossible. How blindsided can you be?
Well, to speak to Patty's point, too, this morning, I think it was yesterday, he was blaming Rick Perry for something.
Yeah,
so
he's blaming everybody.
But you know what? He's like a drowning victim who is just grabbing hold of anybody to stay afloat.
I've never seen such a baby before in my life.
See, this is what people have to see, and I'm saying let it happen. I'm just happy to watch MSNBC.
But it's been happening. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's been happening. I just want something to happen at the end.
But he's desperate now. See, he never really felt impeachment biting on his heels. He never felt
right.
it. Now he does. And now everything is going to come out. And I was saying this morning, I don't wish death on anybody. Believe me, I don't. Not even him. He's going to be like Hitler in the bunker. He's going to take sides. He's going to take something.
He'll know he loves himself too much to ever do
what?
That. He loves himself too
oh,
much.
I don't know. This
what
is
do you
not,
mean
I don't
he's
think that
be
will
like,
ever happen. Goodness.
What do you mean he's going to be hit like Hitler in the bunker?
He's going to kill himself.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Oh, you think so?
You know
yeah.
something?
I don't
ego
think so.
Like that would not be able to live after all of this. Because
he would never
not,
do that.
No, but listen to me.
No.
It's not going to be just this. Don't forget, more stuff is going to come out, and the rest of his life will be lived in shame. I don't know if that ego could handle it. I really don't.
I don't know.
I don't think he's going to do that.
No, I don't
I
think
really
so.
Don't.
He loves himself too much, and he would just
yeah, exactly.
overcome. If he gets impeached, he will come up with something else to make himself look
yep.
like gold.
Yep,
okay?
yep. I
Let
agree
him get
with
out.
You.
He'll
Let
get a new reality
create.
Show.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. He will get a reality show, and he will make it up to, it's all the media's fault. They're liars. It's false news. All these things that he's
but
been saying.
The mountains of items that are going to come out are going to be very hard to live. Look, first of all, and you know that this is the thing that he doesn't realize. When people are defeated, where do you go? You go back home to your hometown where people love you and people support you. You know he can't come back to New York, so where the hell is he going to go?
I don't know, but he will survive.
You know what?
He'll
He's
going to
buy
Florida.
An island.
He'll go to Florida.
Right.
He'll
live in Florida with all the crazies. Because everybody
yeah.
lives in Florida, that's crazy.
And they all love him down there. So.
I can't
he'll
believe
be
there's
happy.
Still people who support him. And the,
that's
and,
what
and, you know, like
but people are, yeah, that's what's shocking to me. People are still saying, you know, we're liars. You know, the Democrats, those effing, you know, liberals, the Democrats, all they do is like him. They blame everybody but him.
And nobody realizes that Trump was a Democrat most of his life.
Yeah,
so,
that's the
know.
Best part.
You know,
I don't know.
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the truth is, I keep saying he's going to chain himself to a radiator.
Nah.
You know, he's not going to be. He's not going to be
too high and mighty for himself. He loves himself
but
too
no,
much.
No, no, no. Chain.
Yeah.
He's not going to leave the White House, is what I mean. He's going to chain himself to the radiator. He's not going to.
Oh, yeah. That's
he would be
no.
so
Probably
great if he
point.
Had to be escorted out by police.
I
would
love,
to have taken that picture because that is a picture I would love to see.
I think we will.
Yeah.
I think we will.
Yeah.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But the
so.
Best part is Jared Kushner is going to be his legal counsel.
Oh, how convenient.
Nothing could go wrong there.
How convenient.
But think about this. You need somebody that really has done it.
Exactly.
You need somebody like one of OJ's people.
Right.
You need
right.
somebody
right.
that has courtroom experience. Jared Kushner's like it.
But everybody's in OJ's
so,
experience is dead.
No.
Most of them.
Rubenstein is still around.
Yeah.
He's still alive. But what I'm trying to say is he's going to be representing him. I mean, think about how delusional that is. His son-in-law would probably...
Yeah, yeah.
That's his.
I'm shocked that his son-in-law would even stick up for him.
What is he
going to
do?
What is he going
to
do?
Yeah,
he
I know. I'm
to.
Just shocked that he would just, like, do that.
His wife is going to say, you're not going to stick up for my daddy?
Yeah.
He's your kid's grandfather. He's got no choice.
Yeah, we'll see. No. We'll see. I still don't think anything is going to happen.
I think so. What do
you
think,
know, every
Nancy?
Day I hope it does, but
okay,
I don't
Nancy,
think so.
Okay, Nancy, what do you think?
Oh, I think it definitely has to happen, but I want to talk about something more interesting than this.
Yeah, yeah it's old news, right?
I was hoping we had some more on the agenda for today. I mean, I definitely think it's going to happen. It needs to happen. You know, I'm just really kind of sick of him and looking
yeah.
at his face and hearing about the whole thing. But, I definitely, it has to happen. He's a lunatic. He's a psychopath, you know. But, that's
Tell me
what
what's more interesting. I
no,
want to
no,
hear it.
I already have what's more interesting.
What
well,
do you
let's
got?
What Nancy
let's
has
go.
To say.
Do you have something, Nancy, that you want to talk
no,
about?
No, I don't. I've been
Didn't
like...
Didn't you just
I've
say
been...
you have something more better to talk about?
No. I said let's talk about something more interesting. I thought
okay.
you guys
all
had
right.
an agenda.
All right. Oh,
okay. I didn't get
to
see
what. There's always more to that.
No, I know. No. I've just been kind of out straight, so I haven't caught up with any social media, really. But, yeah, so let's bring it. What are we going to talk about?
There's a show that I caught. It just started. Lee and I
it's
actually
a great show if
week.
You girls could start watching it. It's on Bravo.
It's on Bravo?
Yes.
Okay. It's like My Life as a Man. That's
no,
my,
it's called...
It's a, no, no, it's A Man's World.
It's A Man's World, it's
like
called.
Like the James Brown, It's A Man's World. It's, what's interesting is you have different women every week that are in different walks of life that hire, that feel that they were wronged by male society, they're overlooked for a promotion, they're overlooked for this or that, whatever it is. And there's look, let's be serious. In our days, that happens at least 10 times. So they work with these amazing Hollywood makeup artists and vocal coaches, and they make themselves into men. And they walk back
in. Oh, my God.
You have to watch it.
Okay.
It's a wonderful, wonderful show, and it really opens your eyes to it's really a man's world.
It is.
Uh-huh.
There was this lady last week. Oh, I can't think of her name now. But she
and
actually,
this is like a reality show.
This
huh?
is a reality show. It just started. Actually, this week is going to be the second week. I don't know
I
if it's on Monday week on Monday or Tuesday.
I think
it's on Monday or Tuesday night at 8 or 9 o'clock on Bravo.
Right.
But it's a reality show, and every week there is some other woman that's being highlighted.
Right.
So last week I was telling Lori about it. I actually showed it to her in rerun that it was a pool.
Yes.
A pool expert. She
was
a high-ranking pool star.
She actually had accolades all over. She was like a
big world star.
A national pool champion.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I mean, all over the world in Europe, I mean, she's just been in the top of her game. But every time she went into this one, it's actually, I don't want to give a shout-out, Amsterdam Billiards in Manhattan. There was this one guy who is a champ, and he's also had a good amount under his belt. But she shows you how he minimizes her worth, says the only table you should be at is in the kitchen.
I love your rack. You know, let's shoot the rack. You know, your rack looks better. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
So the first part of the show is her being herself and showing you what it is to be who she is and the insults she gets day in, day out from the men. And the second half is these makeup artists making her into a man, and you would never knew it was her.
Never
know it was her.
Never.
So then she goes
back
into the same atmosphere, the same people as a man, and not one insult was given to her because she was a man.
And they tallied it, and they were given – all the insults that she was. What was her name? Her male identified
as Alex. I remember Alex.
Her name was something different.
I forgot her name.
But the insults that she got as a woman.
27 insults as a woman.
27.
And none as a man.
And no insults.
But,
and compliments were 10 as a man.
Yep.
But what kind of insults was she getting as a woman?
Your rack. Why don't you rack it up? Make it look as nice as your rack.
Right, because she's a pool star.
I got a pole for you.
Right, you should be in the kitchen. You know, stuff like that.
The only table should be in the kitchen. Why don't you shine my balls? I mean, all
stuff
these
like that.
Things.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. Now I get the picture. Oh my God.
It was really amazing. And the only problem I had with it is the makeup was so impeccable. But you couldn't lower her voice enough to make it believable.
Right, I mean, it's all on the individual,
but
you know?
No, the thing is, she worked with...
But she got away with it. They didn't even know it was her.
She worked with a coach, a vocal coach, a dialect coach and everything on Broadway, and he kept saying, you've got to lower your voice a little bit, because she had a beard, and then all of a sudden you have this high-pitched voice coming out of her mouth, and it just really, it just threw the whole thing off. But she was believable, and then later on, she came out as...
herself.
And the guy that was intimidating her and, like, obviously being harassing in some level to her was actually a decent guy underneath it. And he said, I'm so sorry, because she was saying, you know, you minimized my worth. And he said, I just never thought that I was doing that. It was all in fun. And I guess I'm going to think twice about it now. Mm-hmm. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experiment in, it was a nice social experiment.
Yeah, you guys got to check it out. It's a really good show.
No, I definitely will do. That sounds really interesting.
It really is. Wow. And it's just, this week they have actually an African-American woman that wants to run for a political office. And I guess it's because she's got kids and stuff like that. You know, she's, you know, downgraded because of that. You know, you shouldn't run. You should be more a mother. So that's this week's topic, you know, this week's woman that's going to be on the show and highlighted.
Well, I'm sure they're certainly not going to run out of women. They'll probably be lined up around,
Sure, because they have a whole season of it, so.
But, I mean, just amount of stuff that women put up with that's not in the public eye, that they just sort that everybody deals with, and unless you share with your close associates, you just don't, you know,
you don't know about it.
Yeah, especially in that field, though, of pool playing. I mean, that's just kind of a man's world. So
it is a man's world, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it was interesting.
Sure.
This weekend we had a festival that we do every year. And this year it was Silent No More. And it was we had all female artists, whether they were visual artists. I had live tattoo people down, live tattoo people. But it was mostly women musicians or women-led groups. And it was interesting because the person that I got to do the body art was this woman who was listed in a few different magazines as one of the best female tattoo artists in Brooklyn. And she was in an article, and she said, well, I actually hate the fact that it has to be a category. I'm a woman with a hand. Why is it a female? Why can't I do it as you have a hand? It's not like it's taking strength.
You're an autistic person.
That's exactly right.
That's all you are.
That's what you're saying. But anytime people come into her shop, they always assume she's the receptionist.
Yeah.
And see, that's the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
And that's exactly. Now, she's got tats on her, but they figure she's the one who's taking the money. She's the one who's making the appointments. She's not the artist. Now, see, the scary part of that is, she's located in a place where there are men who are a little bit more broad-minded, men who are, like, you know, younger men who are educated and aren't necessarily the machismo that we've seen, and they still think that.
Of course they do, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what. That's
it's always
going to
be a man's world.
See, I don't know about that. I think
within time it's going to be definitely changed because I think the millennials are going to change our world, but with our lifetime, with where we are and us after us, it's just going to be as – I don't think we're going to see it in our lifetime is what
maybe
I'm trying to say.
We are going to be due for a matriarchy for
– Yes.
The pendulum has to swing.
So.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. But it's just really interesting.
Yeah,
good, Nancy.
No, you go ahead. I think so, too. I think it has to happen.
I think when she said that to me, now she had you got a tat from her the other night, I believe. She's about 28.
The oldest, maybe.
The oldest.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and most of her clients, I mean, she gave me my new tat.
Right. She's very talented.
She's very good,
but
most of the people that were in the shop that day when I was there, I was the oldest one there. I could have been everybody's
grandmother. Right. Everybody's young. Right.
Right. So, but that's the whole thing, and that's I think when she said that it's like, you know, still people assume that she's just in the front booking the appointments. I could deal with it with people my father-in-law's age, but I really can't. I was really disappointed to hear that it was like her peers, like educated people in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a huge reality watcher.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of reality TV, and I watch Ink Master. And Ink Master, they actually crowned another female tattoo artist, and within that whole season, they always say that it's a male-dominated field.
Mm-hmm.
You got three females with 15 male, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second time a female was crowned. So the more females come out, the more they will be noticed and recognized. It just constantly, constantly got to be put in your face to be shown, you know?
Yeah.
And again, they're a younger generation, and, you know, they do compete with old and young. And she was very young, and she won. So hopefully, you know, within time, again, I'm going to tell you that we're never going to see it in our lifetime.
I'd like to see it.
I would love to. I would too, but I don't think we'll see it.
You know, then this is you just made me think of something going on another level. Now, Nancy, your field,
yes.
I would say, is more the modeling field. Would you say it's more female-dominated than male?
Yeah, I would say. It started out more female, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the male population is coming into it, but it is mostly.
It's more female in front of the camera. Now, who decides for you to be the model? Is it a female or is it male behind it?
It's going to be male.
Well, now, don't forget who our biggest leaders of that was Wilhelmina. There was Monique Pillard.
And these are all female-run companies?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good thing. But again, you're going, putting it into a category of beauty, and women know beauty, you know?
But see, what I want to ask her is, do you think the male models got treated differently than the female models? Do you think there was a level of respect?
Yeah, for sure. No, they got sort of downgraded.
Really?
Oh, no, they did. Oh, no, they were just put tossed to the side, because they were just like, in my day, they were just used as props. So, and then, of course, GQ magazine, they weren't props. I was a prop and that. So,
right, I guess it depends on what you was, taking pictures of or for who.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
But not no more, because males are in front of the camera more than ever now.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Now it's coming up to be more even. But back in the day, it was men were props, and
it's true. Model with this woman. She needs to look like she's got a guy on her hand.
Let me ask you, and I don't know if you would know, but. See, I'm wondering now, was the purse different for women? I mean, did the male models get less pay? Do you think, Nancy?
Well, I was married to one, and they now, for like catalogs and stuff, they got paid about the same, maybe a little bit less.
Mm.
But I don't remember, because at the time I was with Jeff then, so, and I remember him bringing home his voucher book, although I didn't really care to look at it. But I think they kind of made around the same amount of money for catalogs and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because don't forget, catalogs were all about selling, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so the more you sold, the more you were booked, and that's how it works. Yeah.
It's interesting, because when we were watching that show, what was the purse for the pool championship was like $100,000 for the men.
Right.
And the women got
$15,000. It was like $57,000 for the men and $15,000 for the women.
Yeah.
Do you see the difference in that?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, look at the athletes,
of course. Well, that's definitely it's a sad situation.
Yeah.
Totally a sad situation.
Well, that's the thing.
Did they ever? I remember the women's soccer team was really up in arms about the payment. Did they ever come to terms with that?
They came up with a level that was amenable to the women at the time, but it was still, I think, about a 20% different than the men made. They made more money, but they still were. And that's the whole thing. They're going by what's going to get butts in the seats, and it's always going to be a male sport to bring in the volume. So the contracts got better, but it's still not even pay.
Yeah, wow, that's unbelievable.
But the
women brought in just as big an audience, no? Has the men?
Well, personally, now, although I'm always saying, this is exploitation, women's volleyball is the viewership is just astronomical, and yet the teams don't make money. Now, my thing is, if I'm playing volleyball, I'm not necessarily comfortable in a bikini, but that's really what they're wearing. But still, they should be getting more money just based on, although I don't endorse it, exploitation.
Exactly.
But That's
I think that's
probably
the same with female wrestlers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
To some degree. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, way back when, when I was, I think Patty knows that I was in the subdivision of the WWF many years ago, like when I was in college. I was like 22, and you couldn't do anything with a degree. And the women were actually almost as high paying as the men because, you know, that's really, it was, and, you know, it's all choreographed. And that would get people in the seats because it was, it's like a fetish, which I would never do now. Because it's just you're selling out.
Yeah, it's just selling yourself.
But that's the thing. So if there's a marketing curve there that if you exploit the women you'll make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I want it, but that's the only way it happens.
Yeah, and it's still going on. I met a lovely young woman from I think she's from England, not Ireland, and she came. She's a professional dancer. She's danced in competitions all over the world. She came to the area. She teaches dancing. Then she supplements her income by working a couple of days at a pub. And she's all geared up because she's such a great athlete and dancer and very attractive. She's leaving after the first of the year to go to Florida to train with the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, why are you doing that? But I guess it's because it's a step that she sees she can take at this point in her life, and it might set up her future, and
mm-hmm.
she's ready to do it. She's like in her mid-20s. So that to me is a very, it was an interesting decision, number one. Number two, I had no idea there was a training camp for WWF females.
Oh my God. But so speaking of that, this is going to be a kind of a twisted offshoot, but did you guys see Peanut Butter Falcon?
No,
never even.
No.
Heard.
Okay. Well, all right. So talk about going off to W. So you know my brother's Down syndrome, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So and a lot of the Down syndrome kids somehow like the WWE. What is it? E or F or whatever it is.
It's
the wrestling.
Yeah,
right?
It's both.
It's W.
Yeah. No. I mean, Philip has gone to all the wrestling. He has the belts and the this and the
mm-hmm.
that. Now, there's
I heard of this.
Peanut
yes.
Butter Falcon is about a Down syndrome boy, about Philip's age,
wow.
maybe a little older. He's his parents died. He had to end up in a nursing home. He escapes the nursing home, and he wants to get to this WWE training camp in Florida. It is a beautiful story. It's a
is
wonderful
it true
movie.
Story?
Oh,
it
wow.
is. Basically, Zach is the actor, and they discovered him. He always wanted to act, and he was at an acting camp somewhere in New Hampshire or somewhere, and these producers found him. And it's a true story that he always did love wrestling and wanted to become a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
he wanted to be an actor. So,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't get the push it should have gotten because, you know, people...
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
I never heard of it.
No,
definitely.
But it was kind
it
of under...
It is on the art cinemas around here. I had read about it, yes. Or
no, but I actually went to see it. I went to see it at AMC when it
wow.
first came out.
I
want to
see it.
But it didn't get enough financial backing, and it's the most beautiful movie because, you know, even my sister, we have, you know, someone in our family who's Down syndrome, and she said, I saw the previews, and she goes, it didn't look that good. But the whole point behind that is, you know, a lot of people don't understand the Down syndrome world, and so they had to be very careful on their editing and
mm-hmm.
to make it seem more fun. I knew exactly what they were doing in the editing, but if you get a chance, you all should see it.
Yeah,
and then,
definitely. It sounds
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, no, it's so good. It's so good. All right, so now we'll go back to WW.
But no, it is. Let me tell you something. I always say my neck and my back were ruined by rehearsing because, and, you know, again, there's this whole thing. I remember John, I was dating John at the time, and we would have a close set. And I was the bad guy. So the bad guy did all the work because
yes.
you had to lift
always.
The person
yeah.
and blood pills, you had to pass. And it was so, I mean, 3 hours, like at least twice a week. And you have to land from 12 feet, and you have to land
yeah,
on
a lot of work.
Lori, you did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah,
did
yeah.
I miss? Oh,
was,
my
it,
God.
The hardest thing for me is when you're a bad guy, you can't react to, and you usually paired off with somebody that you work well with, like anything else. And I remember this woman it's a heel and a baby. The baby is the good person. And anytime I would throw her, and if we were in dress rehearsal and she screamed too loud, I would, oh, my God, are you all right? And you can't do
aww.
That. You can't break character
right.
because what happens is underneath the mats, their mics.
Right. So,
so
it sounds
they hear
like
every, the audience will hear what you're doing. So if she ever got hurt or I ever got hurt, you have hand signals, and the referee knows two is I'm good, one is get me out of here, and they call the match if you actually get hurt.
Oh.
But you cannot even, if I wanted to show up for a match, we can't show up in the same car. It's that.
What?
I mean, people,
yeah, because
yep,
people see. People really follow you.
You cannot be seen in public together.
Right.
You have to arrive in separate cars. You can't talk during.
Right.
You,
they make it like a true story.
And people buy this.
Yes.
Oh,
people
no, they really
day.
Do.
I mean,
no. It's
my
huge,
husband loves
huge
wrestling.
Yes.
To
yes.
this day,
it's
all
big
the same.
Business. It's big business.
It's a
that's
big
exactly
business.
Right.
Huge business.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge
it
business.
It was, you know what? It was a lot of fun. It was a way I was using my degree in exercise science because I really couldn't do anything with it then. And I was under contract to go to Thailand, and it was a whole big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just very time-consuming, and it's just it's
very physical.
It's extremely
very
physical.
Yes.
Lori,
I mean, a lot of athletes.
Good, Nancy.
No, how is your body? I mean, how long did you do it for?
I did it for, I think, a good year. Then we were going to go to Thailand and Malaysia where we had posters and everything. Wrestling is very big in Asia.
Yeah.
But
oh
I tell
gosh.
You something, my back is still bad, and John was there when I threw myself backwards off the turnbuckle. And I landed just a little wrong, and
oh.
my back, and you land on your neck wrong, or yeah.
yeah. And every once in a while, her back is out.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
And it was awful.
Oh, my God.
And you would never know because she does not like to admit it.
But I was 22 at the time.
Yeah.
And, you
and
know,
you're 56, 57. You're
going to
be
57,
yeah.
57, but no. But
and usually, like with pro athletes, it's like later in, you know, life, all the abuse their body took.
Yes, of course.
Manifest.
Yes.
But
yeah.
no, but the thing to Nancy's point, yeah, there is a camp.
Mm-hmm.
You go to camp. You have dress
yeah.
rehearsals. And you just have to. And selling is screaming the blood pills. And
yeah, it's a whole act.
It is.
It's a whole act.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God. Now I'm going to go watch
pills,
wrestling
you bite
again.
To make it look like you're bleeding?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
this is the whole
yeah.
thing. You have to pass a blood pill. Like if my thing was I would gouge somebody's eye or I'd bite somebody's forehead. But once she was down on the mat, I could slip her the blood pill.
Right.
And that's
crazy.
It.
Jesus.
It's
so crazy.
That is just. Hysterical. Philip would
yeah.
love
it's
to hear this.
Theater. It's theater.
Have you girls
theater.
Ever watched real wrestling,
yeah.
like, you know, WWF or WWE?
No.
No.
You have to watch it to understand what she's talking about.
Okay.
Because I see
well,
it every
now I've watched
I see it
a
so much.
Bit.
I have
yeah.
a very funny
it's
story.
So stupid, I have to tell you.
It, but you know what?
It's so stupid.
When it's done well.
It's a soap opera.
It is.
It's no. a soap opera.
This is a very funny story. John and I weren't married at the time, and he used to come to the rehearsals with me. It was a close set in Williamsburg. It was this, the whole thing where all the wrestlers went. So one day my opponent called me up and said, listen, do you mind if I take my son with me? Her son Alex was maybe about 6 at the time or 5.
You're telling me this.
And I said, it's you know, Gladys, it's going to be a dress rehearsal. I don't really think a kid
yeah,
should be
it's
there. She
be.
Goes, no, it's going to be fine. I said, we're going to have blood pills. We're going to... I don't know. And she goes, listen, I have no
babysitter
tonight. My husband's working. Okay. So we all go there. And I said to John, who was you know, sitting with Alex, I said, look, sit with him. And I'm not comfortable with him being here, but talk to him and try to divert his attention for when I throw her and I flip her. And it's not because...
And her screaming.
And her screaming. I said,
and you hurting
his
mama.
Yeah. So I'm really nervous, and I was really off my mark because I was so concerned with landing on her in a pro. You know, I kept seeing him sitting with John in the stands. So I walked up to him, and I said, Alex, you know that everything I'm doing and everything I'm saying to your mother is pretend, right? I'm not hurting her. You know who I am. And when you see blood, know it's pretend. When you see me kick her, you know it's pretend. When you see me choke her,
oh,
know it's
wow.
pretend. So then, you know, the manager's saying, come on, Lori, you got to come back. Okay, so I go back in. And, he go, and you know, it's like 1, 2, 3, on. So we're going through everything, and she was wonderful. She was screaming and yelling, grabbed her by her hair, dragging her around the ring,
oh my
throwing
God.
Her down, and then she got the blood pills. The blood pill is coming out of her mouth. And I look up, and I see her son going, yay, yay. And I said, And she looks up at me, she goes, why were you friggin' worried? I told you he was okay.
Yeah, he
it.
Knows. The kid
but,
knows. Especially boys.
Oh, my God.
But
that's hysterical.
I was so concerned.
Yeah.
I was so concerned because the little baby sitting
right,
there.
Right.
And he hears me screaming
yeah.
and cursing and spitting. Ugh.
I'm sure she pre-warned him.
I know, but just like you see him, he's such a doll. And I was like, oh, please, I don't want him to think differently of me. You know?
Right. Right.
That must be like a million lifetimes ago.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. I got to look up pictures and videos.
I keep asking you. I'm dying to see those pictures.
I want to see these pictures.
Yeah, I definitely want to see these pictures.
And the thing is that when you're a bad guy, you have to just go into a totally
different place. The bad guy is the person, the best person.
Yeah, yeah.
Until this day. Everybody loves the bad guy.
The best thing about being a bad guy, when you start walking into the ring and people spit at you, you know you did your job.
Exactly. You're doing good.
You can't take it personally.
Exactly.
You can't take it personally.
But wrestling is a big entity these days.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge thing.
It's tough, though.
And then that's pretty much both men and women, right?
Yes.
Now there's a lot of women. Totally a lot of. I mean, they have a whole big following for women too now.
Well, don't forget, years ago it was just the Fabulous Moolah who was
the first.
But
now they have a whole.
There's a lot more women.
There's
a lot more.
So what happened with the Thailand gig?
What happened was the promoter had passed. I had gotten my passport. John got his passport. Everybody was going. The promoter over there died, and in Malaysia and Thailand, there's like a month mourning period where you can't have camera crews and everything. So my promoter said, listen, I spent money on this already. We're going to cancel it. We got to get some of the money back. So we never ended up going.
Well, my poster
was over there, too.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. I want to see that.
Lucretia, come on. You have to post it.
You got to post
it. Yeah, I would love to see
what was
it.
What was your bad guy name?
Lucretia. And the funny thing was...
Lucretia.
But you know the funny thing is, I was supposed to be from Germany. So when I was on TV,
did you speak with a German accent?
I couldn't. I could only do an Italian accent. So I was like, at the last minute, I can't do this. So I just was quiet. So my manager would answer for me. They would ask me a question.
Lucretia doesn't talk.
Right, and I would just have a stone face, and I would just look. She doesn't like what you just asked her because I couldn't do it. Any time I tried to do a German accent, it would come out like my grandmother. I was a roll in the eyes.
That's too funny.
Oh, that is hysterical.
Lucretia.
Yeah, that was my little 15 minutes. Anyway, I don't want to keep you late. I don't want to keep you ladies on longer. Because, Nancy, you're actually in a new field. Real estate? Yes?
I am in a new field. I am a licensed real estate salesperson at Keller Williams in Tribeca. And I love it. And we're still going with Belcor. But, you know, I needed to do more. I needed to challenge my brain, which is
well. Let me ask you something.
Challenged.
Now that you are in a real estate is basically a man's world too.
Still.
Oh, definitely.
There's a lot more male agents, no?
No,
in this office it's pretty much even.
What is the office name?
Keller Williams in Tribeca.
Keller Williams.
Give it a shout out.
Keller Williams is one of the biggest firms in the world, actually, but. You know, in New York, we have Compass and Corcoran, and
Corcoran,
you know,
yeah.
And then Keller Williams.
Corcoran,
but no, right into.
She definitely
yeah.
got a facelift, I have to tell you.
All right.
Because I've been watching Shark Tank, and she was on last night actually, and she looked very good. She definitely got a facelift.
Who is that?
Corcoran. Barbara Corcoran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
she's a bright lady.
I think you're a natural for this. I was even telling Elite, I think you're just absolutely perfect
mm-hmm.
because you're so
oh,
personable.
Oh, thank you.
No, so, and
well,
just,
you know, it's just really exciting for me. I mean, the test was really hard. It's really hard.
I heard.
Then,
my sister failed it twice. She's still trying to get through it, you know?
No, it's, you know, and everyone says it's easy. No, it's not. It's hard. And then once you get in here, the one thing I love, there's many things I love about Keller Williams, but they do a mandatory training from 10 to 12 for 6 weeks, and it's all on the different parts of the real estate business, which is super complicated. I mean, closing a deal is complicated. You know, it's like, I mean, your final package can be 3, 4, 5 inches thick, you know,
your board package.
You know, especially
and
with
there's
all
so
these
many details to real estate. I mean, I did a lot of real estate photography, and I've just seen them, you know, there's just so many details into selling or showing, or, you know, staging. There's just a lot to do just to get a sale, or even an interest in the sale.
No, I know. And everybody, now I lost my train of thought. No, but it's true. But anyway, but I'm loving it. I love everybody I work with. And Velcor is still doing Velcor. And Jeffrey's, thank God, still helping with that. And yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Happy.
Well, I think the thing that I think about Nancy, too, is, you know, real estate, I think, largely is about trust. And Nancy's so honest.
Yeah.
So honest and personable. And that, I think, is, you know, could overpower any kind of, you know, sales closing problem that anybody would have. You know, it's really about real estate is about relationships.
Yeah.
And how
Right.
I think that's it. And I think that I can't imagine. It's perfect for you. It really is.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful field. I think it's a wonderful
field. And what's ironic is I brought up your website for Velcor last night to show after my poetry speakeasy event. I went out with a couple of people, and one of them is like a real hardcore cyclist and was complaining about,
nice.
You know.
Good.
And I said, well, you have to get this. And I pulled it
good.
Up on my iPhone.
No, Patty, no, that's good. No, I still have the company. I still have Velcor. But
well,
I just,
of course you do.
You know, I just needed to, you know, do more.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, sure,
but
supplement.
Of course,
supplement.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I appreciate
what
that.
What made you go into, like, was you just felt like you needed to do something else with your life? That's what I'm interested in.
Well, so I felt like I needed another challenge. When I started Velcor, that was a severe. There was a lot. It was a challenge, you know, because I went from fitness to manufacturing to beauty tools, And I really needed to challenge my brain again, and this was definitely did the job. I mean, I did the 75-hour course in 3 weeks, and I did everything in 3 weeks. So,
Always your interest, though?
I always loved real estate, but a friend of mine said, you know, she said, Nancy, what are you doing with yourself? I said, I don't know. I'm looking for something to do, and she's in real estate. And she said, why don't you do real estate? And I'm like, okay, I love real estate. I love people. You know, I love the whole thing. Then I went to the NYREI, the school, and I love it. I mean, it's hard, man. It is hard. Well, like any new job, it's hard. And, you know, you don't get paid till you sell rent or buy.
No, it's all commission.
It's a big time investment.
You know, the harder you work, the more you get paid. That's just the way it is.
So that's just the way it is, but it's, you know, nothing new for me. I mean,
are you the Upper East Side, or what do you have?
Yeah, where is your listings? Do you have to get your own listings?
You have to get listings. I have a couple, so I'm working now with some buyers that I have.
Hmm.
So I have a lot of people that when I wrote to just a few, and they're like, oh, I'm looking to buy. So I'm pretty much a buyer's agent now, but then eventually you get your own listing. So it starts and I'm not doing rental. I'm just doing sales.
You're just doing sales, right? Rentals are hard. Rentals is just, you know, it's not much commission.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's harder. It's much harder.
Yeah, I'm too old to do that.
Yeah. I understand that.
Obviously, if somebody wants an apartment in my building, yes. But, you know, I'm not going to travel much farther than that.
Not for a rental.
No. But thank you, you guys, again, for having me on. As always, it's always so much fun.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
for joining us.
Are you busy?
Nancy, I'm
going
to have to send you an article I wrote years ago, the first time my ex-husband and I were looking to buy a house. And it was published, and it was about, like, you know, like being, like, naive homeowners and dealing with real. I should send it to you. I think you'll get a big kick out of it.
Send it to me. I would love to see it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
And before we say goodbye, I want Patty had a little something she wanted to read. Do you still have it, Patty, or no?
What?
You were going to read something, no?
Oh, yeah, I do. I had some news. I'm like, no, not really.
No,
it's a poem that I wrote a long time ago, actually in college, and my creative writing professor said her comment was evocative as always. And it just reminds me, I was in North Carolina, and it just reminds me of this time of year, you know, when the leaves are turning and the weather's starting to get chilly, and it just evokes the emotion as well as the physicality. It's a short one. It's called The Ages of Arrowhead. And yes, I really did find, you know, Indian arrowheads on this day.
Oh, did you?
The Yadkin River, the Catawba. Actually, I went to Catawba College, and it was named after the Catawba Indian tribe.
Oh.
The ages of arrowhead. In the riverbed beach along the muddy living waters, we search for pieces of time, not ours, to hold. Our heads bowed down, breaking the wind, listening to the gulls, our friends, tripping, lightly laughing over each new discovery. We find a pottery chip, a rusted knife, a carved stone that builds to a perfect point. Sifting through sand with hand, foot, and eyes, we'll keep time as we make our own, which is ours, standing still until our pockets are full.
That's wonderful.
I'm right there. I'm right there. I could feel the thrill.
Thank you.
You could just excite.
It's just a beautiful time of year. As much as I don't like the cold weather,
yeah,
it's just beautiful.
But
though,
that's why I love words. I love words and music. They just take you to wherever it's supposed to, and you just like feel it and you smell it. And
it's so funny because when I hear Patty's words, I always like, you know, when I take pictures, I always would love like a poet to give words to that picture. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think we can talk about something project-wise.
I would love to do that.
Me too.
I've been wanting to do that. Yes.
That's a wonderful thing, the text to the picture. I think that's a perfect thing. I mean,
I just wish I had the talent you do with your, you know, with your poetry
and
your words to my pictures.
But,
because
you know,
that's what I feel when I take my pictures, you know, but I just can't put it into words.
Well, it's not for that. Your art is not that.
I just can't put it into words.
You can't be everywhere.
Right.
You can't be everywhere. So, ladies, thank you again. And Nancy,
always
a pleasure. And now with an even busier schedule, the fact that you're joining us is wonderful. So we love you.
Yeah.
I love doing this, and I miss you girls over the summer.
I know.
You're too busy going away and, you know, doing your own thing.
I missed the part. I wish I lived closer. It's like, dang, you know.
Yeah, you really should just come down.
I wish you would come in. I would love
time.
To just hang out with you one day. You know what I'm saying?
We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But thank you, Patty, and thank you, Nancy, and next month this time. And have a wonderful day, both of you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you,
love
girls.
Thank
you,
you again.
All around.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Love you guys.
Take
bye-bye,
care,
guys.
Bye. Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And speaking of poetry, John has a book out.
Definitely. I saw the book the other day.
Smoke Rings. Yes, it's his work. It's his second book. And the
I heard one of the ones the other night. It was wonderful.
Wasn't that great? That was really good.
Excellent.
That was wonderful. That was for Steve Delachinsky, who
passed
away. Actually 3 weeks ago this morning. So wonderful poet. Even Patty heard of him. John did the text to the music that I composed for that, and it was actually moving doing that the other night.
It was very touching, tearing up.
Yeah, because it's just like 5:03 he left, and it was just like everything leading up to that. And the night before he was on stage, and started feeling he got a headache when he got off stage, and that's it. It just goes that quickly.
So you have to live every day to the fullest. Yeah.
And, you know,
know what tomorrow is.
He definitely did. And his lovely wife is you know, handling things as best she could handle for something so sudden. So, but the book is Smoke Rings. And the back of the book has the lovely Leeds Eagleman's.
Well, when is the release date of this book?
I'm figuring.
Because I know he told me he had a little problem with the text and stuff like that he had to read.
We're going to figure something out and have a book release.
Yes, definitely.
Party, which you will be on.
I would love to take pictures of it. Yes.
Of course, you got to be there. Of course, absolutely.
Yes.
So that's Nancy's busy. Patty's busy. It was a busy summer for everybody.
It's nice, you know. Everybody has to keep busy.
Yeah, it was nice. I love the dialogues. It was just like, started one place and we ended up with wrestling, and that's like the best thing. But thank you, people, for joining us. And by the way, the sister high-fiving is solidarity is not over. The Lady Power Project.
Yes, is this Thursday and Friday.
It's at Dixon Place. It is a cool little theater. It's off Broadway.
And produced by my daughter, Ricky Ziegelman.
Ricky Ziegelman, who was on tap at our Dissident Arts Festival. She came in with Savannah.
I don't remember her last name.
It's Big Ocho Grosso.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ocho Grosso.
Is that Greek?
No, it's Italian.
Oh.
It's either big eyes or big ears. That's what it means.
She had big eyes.
She did have big eyes.
Yeah, she had nice, beautiful, blue,
night.
Big blue
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And she sang the other night, and they
beautiful
they
song
sang.
That she sang and she wrote actually and composed.
And it was, and Ricky spoke about it. Rose spoke about the whole the premise and.
Mm-hmm.
And all that.
And all the sisters came down
from
the
dwelling
place came down.
Transitional housing.
For sheltered women.
For women who have. And I, you know what I loved when Sister Joanne was saying that women are homeless for a variety of reasons, starting from being a battered wife, physical abuse, sexual abuse could even be the byproduct of your home environment when you're a child. It could be any type of delinquency in payment. It could be addiction. Anything could bring you to that point. And this place gives you a safe place until you could move on. And they also help with education and getting you on your feet.
It's a wonderful, wonderful
place. Not just giving you a meal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just a meal.
No.
It's about
getting you to get yourself back on your feet.
Fortifying you in many ways other than with food intake. So they're doing a wonderful thing at the dwelling place. And proceeds from the Lady Power Project is going there, as did our show
the other night.
So, we were happy to do that. And just, it's, you know, if you have your checkbook out and you're thinking about making a donation in the new year, it's a great tax write-off. The dwelling place is a wonderful thing. So look them up online. And, you'll be doing the right thing. That's our show.
Yeah, I think it was a great one.
And I want to thank Nancy Donahue, and I want to thank Patricia Martin for coming on board and always making it a bright spot in our day, even though they're scheduled.
And I want to thank you for who you are.
And I want to thank you for who you
are.
Oh,
there we go.
We're set. That's all we need. And thank everybody who's listening for making it a wonderful 7 years on the air. And we will be back next week. Not on Monday, because it's Columbus Day?
Well, we'll see. We don't know.
We
don't know. Just because it's a holiday doesn't mean we doesn't, right?
Check our Facebook page.
Exactly.
You'll know what we're doing. Until then, be good to each other. Have a wonderful day. Go out and make a difference to the world. Take us home, Nina.
Well, I'm going to keep it.
I am woman. Hear me roll. That's okay. In number all right. Let's get Nina. There we go.
Bye-bye, everybody.
One, two, three.